Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right, I'm a little unprepared today. It is Saturday morning, December 10th, 2022. Welcome to the Don Tony Show. Don Tony, as always, I am prepared with my Ember mug, and I have my list of topics, but I forgot my notes. It's been a little bit of a hectic morning over here. Believe it or not, I am actually bird sitting. Parents had to take an emergency trip to Florida. They were having some work done after the damage from the storm a couple of months ago. And apparently some contractor really screwed up. So they had to hop on a flight, head over to Marco Island. So this morning has been insane. Plus, I was checking emails and got a few topics that we definitely need to get into today. So, and look, I know for a lot of you out there, it is going to be an insanely crazy wrestling day for all of you. We have Ring of Honor, the Ring of Honor themed pay-per-view. And some of you ask me, why do I call it that way? You know, once Ring of Honor has regular TV, or could be YouTube, I don't care. You do a weekly YouTube, you know, that's fine as well. But when they have regular programming and, you know, the roster is separate from what we watch on AEW, then I'll treat it as a promotion again. But, you know, for me, it's they have an AEW roster. These wrestlers are signed to AEW deals. And some of these matches we could watch on Dynamite. We could watch on Rampage. And some of the other names that get brought in. Yeah, I know there's a lot of people that'll post those, oh my God, epic, amazing, fire emojis and everything. But the fact is that they're coming in for a one-shot deal. You know, try to fill up the show with as many recognizable names. And then once the pay-per-view is over, it's back to the same stuff. You know, and listen, Claudio joining the Jericho Appreciation Society, that's going to be a pretty big storyline. That's going to be on television if it happens. If it happens. But that's why I say, you know, Tony Khan, great media call the other day. But, you know, there's an old phrase, I'll believe it when I see it. And I see some of the things that they're possibly planning for Final Battle. How do you progress those storylines if they're not front center on your television? The minute you tune into Dynamite, that first quarter hour, it's usually flooded with the Jericho Appreciation Society or something related to Ring of Honor to try to falsely inflate that number. Oh, and speaking of falsely inflate numbers, ratings. You know, it was funny. Last week, Thanksgiving, the week before, everybody was saying, well, you know, it was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and that's why the rating was so low. So now we're the week after Thanksgiving last week, and the rating was still low, and no excuses for that. So now this week, even better, is Spectrum had some issues with their TBS and TNT streaming channels for a short period of time. And people, including the blue check marks, are blaming the Spectrum outage for the low rating for this week again. We'll get into those ratings. I have the quarter hour breakdown. And let me tell you something. They probably should not have used Spectrum. Actually, you know, let's just bang it out of the way. I'll just show it to you. I'll just show it to you. Why get into, you know, getting into court? Let me just show you. The beginning of Dynamite this week, apparently there were some issues with TBS and TNT. Some people had no video. Some people had no audio. Some people were connected and the video would be choppy. Some people claimed they had no video, no audio whatsoever. You know, but like I said, how many of you out there know anybody has a Nielsen box? So when you see, you know, people in droves online complaining that their spectrum is not working. Keep in mind that, you know, almost none of them have a Nielsen box, so it doesn't affect the ratings anyway. But anyway, within a few minutes, they were fixing their problems. Yeah, it was frustrating. You had video on your screen, you didn't have audio, but it wasn't for the entire show. So before 9 o'clock, problem is resolved. My friends, look at the quarter hour ratings. And this is credited to Brandon Thurston over at, I don't know, Statonomics or whatever he does over there. He's a good guy, man. He does a lot of hard work with this stuff. But just pay attention to those quarter hour ratings. You know, a lot of people are very, like, pissed because the first quarter hour didn't break a million. And they're like, oh, because Spectrum was down. Look at the second hour. Look at the second hour when everything was in full force. Quarter one, the Dynamite Diamond Ring Battle Royal did 883,000 viewers. Quarter two, which was the wrap of that Battle Royal and then the confrontation with Ricky Starks and MJF, jumped up 3% to 910,000 viewers. After that was over and they had Jon Moxley backstage and Samoa Joe versus Darby Allin, that dropped 7% to 845,000 viewers. Now, by now, problem solved. I want you to explain this to me. Okay, quarter four, which was the finish of Samoa Joe, Darby Allin, that mini confrontation with Wardlow, or as Taz said, the Warlord, Orange Cassidy, Kip Sabian backstage, Jericho Appreciation Society versus Blackpool Combat Club, the first half of it, that was 876,000 viewers. So now we get into the 9 o'clock hour. The remainder of that match, the video of William Regal, and the House of Black video only went up 6,000 viewers to 882. Now it's all downhill after. 9:15 to 9:30, Jamie Hayter interview, the women's six-woman tag team match. That dropped 12%. 110,000 viewers turned the channel. It dropped down to 772. The finish of that match, Britt Baker and Saraya backstage. And the first 7 minutes of the Acclaimed versus FTR, that dropped to 769,000 viewers. And then at the very end, which was the finish of the match and the announcement of the Briscoes, that only increased to 784,000. Now, you look at those second half ratings. Explain, if they're claiming that first hour should have been much higher, doesn't that kind of say, well, that means that even more people tuned out to Dynamite on hour number two? This week, they treated Dynamite much differently. A lot of times, they will blow their load in hour one. And then we'll have, you know, a decent main event. I'm not saying the match quality is not good, but we sometimes question, you know, why is Wheeler Yuta in a main event to close out Dynamite? You know, why do we have some of the people that they portray? This week, it was building. It was building, and those numbers are in the sevens. Imagine if the Spectrum outage really did affect those numbers, and hour one would have been much higher. What does that say about hour number two? Just throwing it out there. I honestly did not expect to open up with that. I actually expected to open up with a video I want to share with you right now. It has to do with Bray Wyatt. Thank you for everyone who alerted me of it this morning. I'm sure majority of you are not even aware that he has posted this yet. I tried to post it on Twitter. I don't have Twitter Blue. I used to because I like being able to upload 5-minute videos. That's the number one reason. Plus editing my tweets. You know, I'm always misspelling. My grammar sometimes isn't so great. So I freaking canceled Twitter Blue because they said that all the memberships were going to end anyway and you have to switch over to this, and now you can't even get the Twitter Blue. So I can't even post the video because the video is 3 minutes long. But I wanted to share with you because Bray Wyatt gets into detail, a little more detail as far as what happened to Barry Windham. And man, this hits home. It hits home, especially for my mom, because a lot of you know with my mom's condition, 5 years ago, she was clinically pronounced dead twice, and they got her back, and she's still here, thank God. Bray Wyatt reveals in this video that Barry Windham had no heartbeat for, I think he said 20 minutes. I mean, that's just mind-boggling. I mean, understand something. Having no heartbeat for any period of time is fucked up. Understand, too, that when you have no heartbeat, you have no blood, no oxygen being distributed to your brain, to your whole body. So even if you are revived after a certain amount of time, having no blood flow and no oxygen, that could destroy a person, leave them in a vegetative state. So I'm going to share with you the Bray Wyatt video right now. Now, what I did, and I told you this last week, I created a tiny URL link. Because if I post a GoFundMe link here for the Barry Windham medical expenses, the link is like this big. You know, so I wanted to create a link that everybody would remember. It's something easy to pass around. So the URL that you see on this video, I posted it on there. I added it. So in case anybody wants to either donate, maybe share the link with others, you know, let them know as far as, you know, the expenses, because Barry Windham had no medical insurance. And we talked about that last week. But without further ado, this is Bray Wyatt talking about what happened with Barry Windham.
Normally, I keep a lot of my outside life separate from anything that I do on here or in the ring. I just wanted to let everyone know that I'm incredibly thankful for the support and the love that I've received since I've been back and throughout my career. Wrestling has been a part of my life always. And when I was a kid, I looked at my dad, my uncles, my grandfather, who were all professional wrestlers. I looked at them as if they were like they were Greek gods or something. Like they couldn't feel pain. You know, they were mortal. They would always be just like that. As we get older, you know, and I become a man myself, you know, you start to understand that that's just not the case. You know, nothing is forever. This week, my uncle, Barry Windham, he had a massive heart failure in Atlanta, and he went down, and he didn't have a pulse for 10 to 20 minutes, you know, so he was away, he was gone, and I wanted to thank one specific man, Michael Todd Lalick, who was there, a random citizen, and he gave him CPR in there for that entire time before, you know, everyone else could get, the EMTs could get to him, and he was, you know, he stayed with him, and he's the reason that, you know, we have Barry still. He's alive. He's with us. And Barry Windham has given his life to his profession, you know. His whole life has been about this, just like mine, and he put everything into it, and I just wanted to share that I'm incredibly thankful to have him back. And my sister set up a GoFundMe in his name, and you're not obligated to share. No one's obligated to share anything, but if you could, that would be incredibly helpful. And, you know, take it from me. Sometimes, you know, when you're someone like that, it's incredibly powerful to remind them that they mean a lot to a lot of people. And I hope everyone out there that's hearing this, I hope you take this from me. Be good to the ones you love. Always remind them about that, how much they mean to you, because nothing is forever. Yeah, thank you for everything, guys.
Yeah, that's powerful, man. Oh, boy. Really, really sad, man. But you know what? He's fighting. He's still with us, thank God. But, you know, those, well, believe me, I know a few people were taken back. You know, the goal is to raise about $200,000, Yeah, no, that's, you'd be surprised how expensive it is to have heart surgery, and he'll be hooked up to all those machines and everything they did. You know, my parents, you know, it hits home, and I know a lot of you as well. So, hey, if you can contribute, you know, every little bit helps. If you could share the link with others, that helps. Say a prayer for Barry Windham. That helps, you know, but, you know, thoughts and prayers, and not only with Barry Windham, but with his family, because that is rough. And I know for most of us, at some point, we have to deal with something like that. And, you know, it hits home. It hits home. You know, let's try to segue into a little more positive, well, positive news. Barry's still with us, but, you know, we had some interesting feedback from last week talking about Bray Wyatt, the on-air character. Are people starting to get frustrated with a very tortoise-like storyline? It is progressing in like little tiny drips and drabs. You know, if you look even with the stuff with LA Knight yesterday, I mean, LA Knight, I am so happy that he is not Max Dupree anymore. I mean, he's got an attitude, you know, the swagger about him, you know, the way he presents himself. I love the fact that, you know, he doesn't really show fear towards Bray Wyatt. But, you know, it's like, if this was even 5 years ago, we probably would have had, you know, the following week, you know, going out there, cutting a promo. If you're not going to come out here, I'm going to go look for you. And then you'd have videos of him looking around the back and this and that, and then somehow, but within 3 weeks, you'd have a match announced for a pay-per-view. And this is just dragging and dragging and dragging. And I'm surprised at how many of you out there, you know, see that, how many months he is back. Now, obviously, with the situation with Barry Windham, pro wrestling is probably the least on his mind. You know, family is very, very important. But this storyline, man, where is it going from here? In my opinion, we have talked about it before. Bray Wyatt, our fear is he is not having a match until the Royal Rumble. I mean, until WrestleMania. What am I saying? Yeah, I kind of gave away what I was about to say. Now I feel like that motherfucker has to have a match at the Royal Rumble. He has to have a match at the Royal Rumble. I mean, if they were going to do the cinematic stuff going all the way to WrestleMania, you know, that's an interesting challenge because we're still over 3 months away, you know, to WrestleMania. 4 months, if you really think about it. How are you going to build this for fun? I actually, WWE teased on their social media yesterday, like, who's attacking LA Knight? Do you know who the number one chosen person is? And listen, I don't like to criticize wrestling fans. That's why I always go out of my way to say blue check marks, you know, the cake and ice cream crew, you know, the media, the pigeons. I don't like to, because wrestling fans, they just want to be entertained. They don't research. Some of them do, but it's not their job. They just want to enjoy what they're watching on TV. But the number one person that everybody is bringing up to be the one who is attacking LA Knight, and it's getting thousands and thousands of likes, and I hope I don't sound sexist, but Alexa Bliss. Now, I just can't buy in the fact that Alexa Bliss is the one humiliating LA Knight with this violence. It's just, I think people, you know, like the storyline, hey, it makes sense with the storyline, but then you start breaking it apart. It's like, nah. A little Alexa Bliss, 5 feet of fury. You know, was she going to put the Bray Wyatt Firefly stuff? I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. They're teasing right now. He did it. He didn't do it. He did it. He didn't do it. What I like about Triple H and creative so far, and listen, let's be honest. A lot of people that Triple H has brought back, not kind of like affected the ratings in any way, shape, or form, And some of them get crickets with crowd reactions. Shit, somebody said this to me earlier today, and I had a good laugh at it. This is from yesterday's SmackDown with Rey Mysterio and Karrion Kross. And, you know, hey, just, you know, what does that look like to you? And I'm saying to myself, you know, yeah, that's Rey Mysterio telling Karrion Kross, hey, Kross, I heard Vince McMahon is back. And I saw that fucking helmet in his office. I don't know, Kross, what do you think he's going to do with you? And Kross is looking, and he's like, oh, fuck. That's what this picture looks like to me. He's got that look on his face like, oh, this motherfucker, if he's back. Vince is not coming back, everyone. He's not coming back. But a lot of what Triple H has done, you could call it, you know, trying to do major repair. I don't know if Mayhem had major damage. I actually think Mayhem is doing a great job right now. I'm not saying everybody is kind of in purgatory creative-wise, but a lot of who Triple H has brought back haven't really knocked it out of the park. You know, Braun Strowman's an exception, too. But I will say this. The one creative change that I am enjoying the most about Triple H, and please don't give me, oh, well, they say hospital now instead of medical facility. If you actually think it's a big deal that they say the word hospital, go get laid. Do something else. Like, because they use the term medical facility and people are like, oh, thank God, they now say, the fuck is, where's your priority? Hospital? I don't give a fuck what they call it. Just make it look good, feel good. You know what they did with Matt Riddle the other day? They're writing him off to the Royal Rumble. There's a little sausage for all of you out there. WWE said that Matt Riddle is injured and will be out for the rest of the year. No, Matt Riddle will return at the Royal Rumble, and he will gain revenge. And as I think we said 2 weeks ago, last week, he'll probably go right to Solo Sikoa. But I don't know if Solo Sikoa is going to be in the Royal Rumble. I'm not so sure about that. Thinking the storyline doesn't make sense. But what Triple H is doing that is really working well is not trying to treat us like children. Like, if it walks like a duck and it sounds like a duck and it smells like a duck and it sounds like a duck, it's a duck. So, great example, LA Knight yesterday cutting his promo. And LA Knight is showing the clips. Remember the mask? Bray Wyatt is watching you masturbate. Remember that fun we had? And then the other mask in the background after he got attacked. You know, LA Knight's coming out there and saying, hey, you know, here, you got to be ridiculous. Listen to the voice of Uncle Howdy. They're not even masquerading it anymore. You listen to the Uncle Howdy voice. That's Bray Wyatt. They're not even trying to cover it up anymore. And LA Knight's like, listen, what are you stupid? So I like that WWE now does not hide the obvious. They don't hide the obvious. If something on TV is glaring, they will bring it up instead of making us look like fools. So that's one thing that I've really enjoyed. All right, we'll get into SmackDown results in a little bit. I want to talk for a few moments about Sasha Banks, and then we'll do a couple of quick super shout outs. Actually, I want to give a super shout out right now to Guardian of Chaos. He says, Espresso, my brother, much love. Believe it or not, this actually is espresso with a little, I put a little shot of milk in there. I actually made a double espresso with a little shot of milk. He says, the Ring of Honor AEW event today looks decent. NXT should be solid as well. Absolutely. Now, if anybody out there that is thinking about getting the Ring of Honor event today, they did add an additional match to the pay-per-view, and they added 4 dark matches. And I have them here if you want to go check this out. That is the pre-show, which they call Ring of Honor 0 Hour. We have the Kingdom versus Top Flight, Willow Nightingale versus Trish Adora. We have the Shinobi Shadow Squad, Triple S, taking on Daddy Magic and Cool Hand. Mascara Dorada taking on Jeff Cobb. You know, those are 4 decent matches. You know, on an indie show, you know, that could be two-thirds of your card. I think people would actually, you know, be fine with that. You add two good, you know, main event matches, there's your indie card. That's not bad at all. Now, for the event itself, now, we're not going to run down predictions. We did that on Wednesday, but Jericho versus Claudio, FTR versus the Briscoes, Samoa Joe versus Juice Robinson, Mercedes Martinez versus Athena, Daniel Garcia versus Wheeler Yuta. We have Dalton Castle and the Boys versus Brian Cage and the Gates of Agony. We have Shane Taylor Promotions versus Swerve in Our Glory. And they have now added Blake Christian and AR Fox versus Dralistico and Roosh. So, you know, good card, man. I mean, yeah, it's how many matches we got here? We got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We have 11, including the 0 hour. You know, $40 I think is steep. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not paying $40 for it. But if I hear there was an outstanding card, then maybe I'll order it tonight and watch it, and we'll cover it tomorrow. So, yeah, actually, there's a little cheap plug for tomorrow. 8:05 p.m. Eastern, Sunday night, we will not only do the sit-down, but we will also just do some quick results for Final Battle, NXT Deadline. I will give you my thoughts on both events. If I give you my review, then obviously I'm going to watch them. I'm pretty certain I'm going to watch them. You know, I definitely going to watch Deadline. So, all right. Hey, we got a little prediction. We got a little super prediction here from Cappy Caveman. Thank you for the two spot. He thinks them boys get them belts back. I say no. No. You know what? I'll answer it like this. You look at FTR, and look, I don't like to talk about Pro Wrestling Illustrated anymore. You've seen what it's turned into. But I am happy that they stood up for the obvious, and that is the Usos are the number one tag team of the year, and FTR is not. And that's not a knock on FTR. FTR is exceptional. FTR is excellent. The reason why FTR is not number one is because of the way they were used in 2022. You know, people, every time I exposed early on in the year, remember when I said it was like 3 or 4 months since FTR has had a match under the AEW banner? I posted it. Nobody wanted to comment because they want to be part of the cake and ice cream club. And if they criticize AEW, oh, what the fuck? What the fuck? You know? So they were hush-hush about it. Then you're 6 months in, and then you realize, wait a minute, they only have 3 wins in 6 months, and the 3 wins are people that shouldn't even be wrestling on Dark. You know, no names, no quality names. You put that out there, and everybody ignores it. I made that custom Dax banner exposing, you know, their 3-4 record in 2020, and everybody ignores it because nobody has the balls to really stand up and say, listen, what the fuck? So now Pro Wrestling Illustrated chooses the Usos over FTR, and it pisses off the masses. Well, guess what? Now they're looking in the mirror, and now they're saying like, oh, well, you know, Usos had 130 matches. You know what I mean? And FTR had 7, you know, under the AEW banner. So, you know, use is important. Use is very, very important. That was one of the mistakes they did given the top women for the year. We got into, you know, the number of matches some women have had, you know. I mean, somebody pointed out to me the other day that MJF has been in AEW for over 3 years, and he's had a total of, I think, what, 37 matches? You know, you start averaging it out. What is that, 8 or 9 a year? You know, that's an, you know, that's almost like maybe Undertaker 10 years ago. You know, like once a month? You know, maybe, I don't know, for somebody that young, you kind of feel like, you know, maybe they should be used a little bit more. I will say this, in hindsight, from Wednesday's Dynamite, I give AEW a boatload of credit for bringing MJF down to earth because, you know, we all use cute words Wednesday night, Starks kills MJF. Starks tortures MJF. Starks shreds MJF. But I think what is more important is for the first time, and MJF has had back and forths with CM Punk and others, but for the first time, MJF was brought down to earth, you know, and I don't know how much of that was discussed in advance. And no, I expect somebody to come out with some stupid report that, you know, AEW is not as thrilled as Ricky Starks for going a little bit too much towards MJF. No, they kind of like brought him back down to earth. You know, I wouldn't put it on a level of John Cena and The Rock. Do you remember that time with John Cena and The Rock? And John Cena started cutting this promo on The Rock, and The Rock had all those notes on his hand, and John Cena just, and then walked off. The Rock looked like a goof that night. Now, The Rock, by then, is now Hall of Famer, legendary, greatest, one of the greatest of all time. But that night was pretty wild to witness. So to see, after all this time, them really bring MJF down to earth. You know, for a few moments, Ricky Starks was right there. You know, MJF is a great wrestler, but is he a five-star match wrestler? No, and I don't give a shit about five-star matches. But now it shows, you give someone enough mic time, and if they have it on the mic, they could go toe-to-toe with MJF or anybody else. Like, everybody was going nuts yesterday about Konosuke Takeshita. I'm not using Konosuke Takeshita. You know, the entire Japanese language, for some reason, everybody else pronounces it a different name, but, you know, Excalibur says it. Oh, no, it's Takeshita. You know, no, I say it as I know it. That match was great yesterday against Moxley. They went, what, 15 minutes? Crowd freaking loved it. You know, but the thing is that be a little realistic here. You tell a wrestler who's going to take on another wrestler, listen, you're going to go 15, 20 minutes. I want you to kick out of everything. You know, just kick out of everything. And you just keep going and keep going and keep going. You know, they make that person look like, you know, $1 billion. Like, holy shit, he stands toe to toe. He's this close of becoming a main eventer. He's this close. He's falling short. Just this guy. You could do that with a boatload of people. Time. Remember what we talked about last week? AEW's biggest problem, creating the big stars of tomorrow. Time. You don't give enough time on TV to develop them in many different ways. That's why I am so concerned about Ricky Starks. 2023, let's go 3 months into 2023, then 6 months, then we'll look back at the year, and let's see how many people he has defeated in AEW that have losses less than I could count on my hand, on one hand. Let's see. You know, one-on-one matches, let's see who he actually defeats. Don't give me AR Fox. Don't give me Allen Angels. Don't give me Schmuck number 3. You know, I want to see the big names, you know, and I don't know if we're going to get that, so. But now, as far as them boys getting those titles back, the only way I see that happening is that IWGP and AAA are looking to take the titles off of FTR. The whole gimmick has been about them walking around with 3 sets of titles. And if they did not give them the 4th set, which is AEW's, you know, what do you think? You think Tony goes to New Japan and say, here's $10,000. Let them have the belts for 3 more months. This way it gives us time to put the AEW titles and they could walk around having 4 sets of titles. You know, at some point, AAA, and IWGP, you know, they're going to want to take those titles and give it to someone else. So what happens when you start taking those titles off FTR? Oh, now, you know, they have all the gold. No, they don't. So if the Briscoes get those titles back tonight, that tells me that FTR is going to be losing some other titles in the very near future. And that gimmick of having all those belts is going away. because why would, especially Tony Khan, why would you remove the only belts that you actually have a direct attachment to with FTR? So, Primo Cologne, not the Primo Cologne, but thank you for the 449. AEW 18 to 49 in January was doing around 0.40 to 0.44. In the spring, it dipped to 0.39 to 0.37. Summer, it dipped to 0.36 to 0.33. Fall, it was 0.32. Now it is 0.30. The 18 to 49 is down 25%. That also reflects the overall numbers, if you think about it. They're not down 25% overall, but as the overall rating goes down, you see certain demographics being a bigger chunk of it. I have always said, I don't know how long you've been tuning into the shows. I don't mean today, I mean overall. But, you know, if you said to me, and I'm sorry for repeating this, everyone, but if you said to me, DT, what would you rather have? 1 million viewers, or would you rather have 600,000 and 400,000 of them at 18 to 49? Would you rather have 400,000 viewers, 18 to 49, 600,000 overall, or would you have 1 million viewers, and maybe the 18 to 49 is only 0.25? But you got a lot of elderly people tuning in. You got a lot of kids, teenagers tuning in. You got a lot of females tuning in. My answer will never change. Give me 1 million fucking viewers. I want as many people tuning into my product as possible. I use the baseball reference as a perfect example. You have a 30,000 seat building. Let's even go minor league. You have a 10,000 seat building. What would you rather have? 10,000 people in attendance, or only 6,000 people in attendance, but the demo was 0.46. You know, we had, not too long ago, they were showing some stadium, I don't remember which, it might have been in Florida, and they only had 3,000 people in the stadium. You know what the news was about that? Only 3,000 people attended the baseball game. If a basketball game happens and only 2,000 people show up, they turn around and they say, wow, we got a problem. Only 2,000 people showed up. You don't turn around and you say, but look at the crowd. They're all 18 to 49. For me, you have 1 million, 1 million 2, 1 million 3. I don't give a shit if they're all 70 years old. You know, put out a sexy poster for the men. They want to get a, you know, buy a poster of their favorite female. It doesn't have to be nude, but you see, you try to appease your whole demographic. You got a lot of kids tuning in your product, then yeah, make a couple extra things that are more kid friendly. You know, you take as many people, because me, if I have 1 million people tuning in, then I have a pay-per-view. Well, guess what? I have 1 million people that might consider the pay-per-view. And even if it's kids, the kids will bother the parents. Order me this, please. The elderly people, I'm going to die anyway. Let me just drop my money. I don't give a shit. You know, I'll throw it on a credit card. Yeah, let them try to collect it after I'm dead. You know, this 18 to 49, I don't focus on, you know, because overall, it's the only people that should care about that is the networks, the advertisers, and the promotions. Not me, not you, not the dirt sheet, the pigeons. You know, not the cake and ice cream crew. The only people that should give a shit about that are those places. And for some reason, people out there have convinced a lot of everyday fans that the 18 to 49 should be important. When was the last time a TV show was not canceled, even though they had poor ratings, but the 18 to 49 was strong? You know what they do? They'll put it at 2 a.m. or they'll put it at 11 p.m. You know, shows get dropped, they get dropped because of the overall ratings. Not because, you know, oh, well, the 18 to 49 is strong and the female is strong. So, I don't know. All right. I want to give a special shout out to Haley Lucas. Hey, Don. That sounds like, hey, How you doing? Hello, Don. Not hey, Don. Hello, Don. Hello. Hope you're enjoying your weekend. Thank you for the two spot, my friend. Much love. All right. Let's talk about Sasha Banks. Okay, I will preface this with a 60-second clip. Now, the news going around, if you saw the thumbnail for today's show, is that Sasha Banks is pretty much going to be brought in for Wrestle Kingdom 17 in the Tokyo Dome. All right. I'm going to give you the facts on this. I'm going to give you sausage. I'm not going to clickbait you. These people teasing that her WWE career is over, it's clickbait. People teasing that this could lead to her making an appearance in AEW, it's clickbait. November 7th, I brought this up on Twitter the other day. November 7th, we did an episode. We were talking about all the trademarks that she filed for. And we put it in time perspective. When she filed them, why she filed them, and how that could have little or no effect on her return to WWE. And in that conversation, November 7th, we said this. Now, I will tell everyone this. This is a little bit of sausage. It's a little sausage. It's not news, but it's something I want you to think about. Sasha Banks is returning to wrestling. That's already been discussed. We don't need to get into that again. That argument has been settled a long time ago. But what if Sasha Banks returns to wrestling and it's for another promotion? No, not AEW. Do not discount the possibility that Sasha Banks makes an appearance in Japan or makes an appearance in a different country and wrestles a match for a gigantic payday. Now, obviously, if that were to happen, it would be under WWE's blessing because there's still a lot of legalities and contracts going on. But, you know, one thing is for certain. She's returning to wrestling. And, you know, the only question is with WWE, when? Not hard to figure it out. We have had wrestlers over the years make an appearance in Japan. Shinsuke Nakamura is going to be going to Japan, part of the farewell tour for the Great Muda. We have had WWE wrestlers make an appearance in Japan in the past. We've had WCW wrestlers make an appearance in Japan. This is not, you know, people are trying to turn it into this, they're trying to do what they did with Cody and MJF and others that, oh, you know, this person is going to go here and, oh, this is going to go here. And, you know, listen, the bottom line is this. Sasha Banks is going to make an appearance in Japan. And as far as I am aware, it is a one-shot deal. Gigantic payday. Will she wrestle? We have no idea. Will she referee? We have no idea. Will she just sit in the front row and look pretty? We have no idea. But they are bringing her in to give her a big payday. And it is a one-shot deal. It is something that we talked about a month ago. She is returning to WWE. She wants to have a Hollywood career. She wants to have a wrestling career still. She wants to work with her friends. She still loves pro wrestling, and she takes it seriously. But the Sasha Banks that you knew a year ago, 5 years ago, you could pretty much close that door. Sasha Banks will follow the footsteps more of The Rock and John Cena and others. She is going to be a part-timer. She will have spurts where she will still perform. I mean, Look at when John Cena had the United States Championship. John Cena was already doing, you know, film. The Rock, you know, towards the latter years, you know, he didn't come back that often. But Sasha Banks, there is going to be a balance between pro wrestling and her outside activities, modeling, movies, you know, public appearances. That's where this is going. So the idea that Sasha Banks is signing a contract and going in Japan and she's going to be there for an extended period of time, that's clickbait, everyone. The idea that her WWE career is over and this is a that's clickbait, everyone. She is going for one large payday. Is WWE kind of kissing the ass of Sasha Banks? I don't look at it that way. It's a business. It always was a business. And, you know, when we said, 7 months ago, whatever it was, that when she first walked out, promises made, promises not kept. All right. When Triple H took over, you know, the word that was being discussed by a lot of people, but it wasn't sexy. A lot of things that we talk about here that end up being 1,000% right, the TV14 one is perfect example of it. If we just give you facts, it's not sexy. Why would you click the link? You know, if I put WWE career in jeopardy, AEW a possibility, this could, then people like, even though I'm lying to your face, people still will click in and think about it and then start a conversation. And then they talk to their friends. Oh my God, could you imagine this Mercedes? Blah, 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 blah. But meanwhile, the whole thing is built on a foundation of bullshit. So when you talk about facts, unfortunately, in this day and age, your juices are not titillated. So do you want your juices titillated with exaggerations and lies, or do you want to be given facts? The fact is that Sasha Banks, that she's going to go to Japan, get a tremendous payday out of it, make an appearance, feel like $1 million, look like $1 million, maybe get paid $1 million. Then she comes back to the States and she continues what she's doing now. The Mercedes Vernado brand will continue to expand. I know I just rhymed. But as far as all this other shit that you're reading, everyone, it's nonsense. It's nonsense. You know, the stuff that people fed you about, you know, this person and this person, it always leads to bullshit. So that is what's going on. That is what's going on. Sasha Banks, well, we should hear an announcement very, very soon. But I asked a few people, and I was told the same answer over and over and over again. One-shot deal. That's it. Period. No other commitments. Now, sure, it could lead to additional things in the future. But as far as this appearance goes, one-shot deal. Kind of boring, right, when you told the truth? All right. Something that might not be a one-shot deal. John Cena. He is going to be returning to SmackDown December 30th, the final SmackDown of 2022. What will John Cena be doing at the final episode of SmackDown for 2022? Well, believe it or not, word around the campfire is that John Cena may be announcing that he is going to be in the Royal Rumble match. We may see many big names that you would not expect in the Royal Rumble match. I know a lot of people still think The Rock is going to be in the Royal Rumble match and win it. You know what? Anything is possible. I'm still not buying The Rock winning the Royal Rumble. As crazy as this sounds, I think you would get enough fans that would boo that shit because they know The Rock is not back on even a part-time basis. They want to get behind. And listen, Triple H is not stupid. Triple H, the challenge is to have a balance. You want to have the Hollywood. You want to have the spectacle. You want to have the big numbers, the attention, the larger than life, the entertainment world talking about it, the sports world talking about it. But you also want to please your wrestling fans. You know, understand, you want to talk demographics? as far as WWE's mantra and their business, how they do it, wrestling fans is just a portion of the demographic. They have to please stockholders. They want to please Hollywood. They want to please the sports world. They want to please the real life world. They want to give everybody. That's why Logan Paul was such a huge success. Once they realized, look at this motherfucker training. Look at how good he is. Holy shit. This guy's picking it up like, you know, like nothing. And they realize that's a guy you put in a big time position. You don't put Jay Leno versus Roman Reigns. And look, I'm just throwing that name out there. My point is you go back to the WCW days. You know, you see who pick up. Why do you think Dennis Rodman got a little bit more exposure? You know, why do you think some other sports athletes? Because they took it a little more seriously. Look at Shaq. Shaq did a decent performance in AEW. You know, had to get a couple of moves down pat, and, you know, it worked well, you know, and they didn't expose it. But you're not going to put Shaq against Roman Reigns. You know, you could see who actually could back it up. Logan Paul was a very, very unique, you know, example. You're not going to get many Logan Pauls in the outside world that are going to come in and just turn it upside down. Bad Bunny. Look, when that guy's, you know, musical career starts to dwindle a little bit, which I don't know if that'll ever happen, and that guy really wants to consider, would he go to the level of Logan Paul? Probably not. Getting text messages. Right now, my family is actually in, that was just my wife telling me that she's not pregnant. That she got her, you know what. So that means I get nasty. How's your Saturday going, everyone? Hey, you know, let me say this. If she would have gotten pregnant, it would not have been the Immaculate Conception. So, all right. But, you know, Logan Paul was an exception to the rule. John Cena coming back, don't be surprised if he announces that he is in the Royal Rumble. So just telling you right now, not many people are talking about it. Personally, throw him in the Royal Rumble. You still want to do Austin Theory? Have Austin Theory eliminate him. You know, you want to have a little controversy? Let him go down to the final four. In fact, you know what I would do with Austin Theory? I would have Austin Theory have one of those memorable runs. Have him come in almost number one. And let him go 45 minutes. Let Austin Theory go almost an hour. And ultimately he gets eliminated. In fact, I would dare say have him go down to either the final four or the final two. You know, I don't know who we'd be up against. But you know what I would do thinking about it more and more? I would have Seth Rollins, Cody, Austin Theory, and John Cena? I don't know. I don't know, I'm not sure about that fourth person yet, but those three I would put as the final four in the Royal Rumble match. And then, you know, maybe you get, you know, Seth Rollins eliminates Austin Theory, Cody eliminates Seth Rollins, and Cody wins it. So I still think Cody Rhodes should win the Royal Rumble. But all right, let's get into a few other quick things. Oh, since we're talking about Hall of Famers and Legends, yesterday on SmackDown it was Kurt Angle appreciation night, his birthday celebration. We had appearances, Kurt Angle, all throughout the night. He was with Gable Steveson. How many of you out there thought that Gable was going to turn on Kurt Angle yesterday? I will admit, at one point, but it was 9:59. Once I realized, okay, we don't have enough time for Gable Steveson to turn on Kurt Angle, I thought, okay, I wonder, do you think there's any chance, because Kurt Angle has teased that he would like to have one more match and it would be a tag team match. He's had some surgeries that pretty much have ended his career. But now him just walking out there with Gable Steveson, did they plant the seed yesterday that we might see Gable Steveson and Kurt Angle team up as a tag team WrestleMania versus Alpha Academy? Just throwing the idea out there. What do you think? Because if you didn't see SmackDown yesterday, not only did we have the birthday celebration, but 20 plus years in the making, we had the return of the milk truck. There you go. There you go. Just Milkomania running wild. Look at Otis. Watch Otis. Watch what Otis does. Watch. I don't think he did it yet. Wait. When he gets up, let's see if he does it. Watch closely. Watch. Oh, I think he did it already. He might. You know what? You go to the beginning of it and look at it again. Otis like starts flipping around on his own. They sold that well. I don't know if anybody at ringside got wet with the milk. I thought that was pretty fucking cool, man. I thought it was hilarious. But honestly, I think we may truly get Kurt Angle and Gable Steveson versus Alpha Academy. Let me tell you something. For all participants involved, that would be a memory that would last a lifetime for them. Kurt Angle, you know, there's no question. Everybody knows that Chad Gable absolutely loves Kurt Angle. Otis as well. Gable Steveson idolizes Kurt Angle. So you realize that all four people involved in that match, you know, this is something special. So the more I think about it, yeah, I think that could very well happen. Hey, we even got a little sighting of Kurt Angle's son yesterday, Jason Jordan. I love little things like that. Nero Faye, I love the run-in. Good. I think it's afternoon by you right now, or maybe early evening. He's tuning in from Israel. Yeah, so Jason Jordan showing up, giving Kurt Angle a number one dad. Wait a minute, so you don't like talk to your dad at all? Like, I don't know. Like, he hasn't seen his dad in a long time? What does that kind of say? But we also had a little post-celebration yesterday as well. Do I have the video? I think I have the video. But there was, maybe I don't. Well, maybe I do. Let me see. After the cameras went off the air, they continued the birthday celebration. Yes, I do have it, actually. I do have it. Here, I could show you some of it on the screen. Here, I'll show you. Rey Mysterio doing a happy birthday. I got to go through this. Yeah, look, there's Jason Jordan. There you go. They're all wishing him a happy birthday. That's everybody in the ring. All the baby faces, by the way. So you see them. And the end, I'll show you the end, which was pretty cool. When Kurt Angle leaves the ring, you'll see it. Just wait for it. It's coming. There you go, Triple H. Nice little hug. You know, if you look quickly in the background, you'd think that might be like Enzo and Big Cass, even though it's Butch and Ridge Holland. If you look at it like a split second, you look really closely, you'll see what I'm talking about. But when they go to the back, you'll see. He leaves the ring just for a split second. By the way, Big Kaz, Big Bill, is that what they're calling him now? All right. I had to jump it like that because we don't want to get hit with copyright issues, everyone. Okay, so let's briefly get into SmackDown and Rampage results. Yesterday, SmackDown was all about the tag teams because that's all we got yesterday. The Usos retaining their tag titles, defeating Sheamus and Butch. Sami Zayn gets involved, grabs Sheamus' leg, who prevented him from breaking up the pin. And once again, we get the Butch didn't see the tag made. That take a shot every time that happens in a WWE match that leads to the finish. The Viking Raiders against Legado del Fantasma went to a no contest. I know people are saying double disqualification. That makes no sense. Makes no sense. Hit Row got involved. And this is leading to a three-way match next week on SmackDown. The New Day and Ricochet defeated Imperium. Imperium, we had the contract signing with Ricochet and Gunther. And, you know, more of the humor that only the New Day could do. You know, Gunther saying that we are not performers. We are professional wrestlers. You know, honestly, you know what's funny? honestly think that if we did not have the Jericho Appreciation Society storyline in AEW, I think Gunther would have said sports entertainers. When Gunther said, we're not performers, I think in a different world, he would have said, we're not sports entertainers. If he would have used that term yesterday, even though WWE created the term sports entertainer in the 80s for wrestling, people would say, oh, they're ripping off AEW because Jericho Appreciation Society, they're sports entertainers. So Gunther says yesterday, we're not performers. So they're like, oh, they don't perform. Get it? Perform? You know, it is what it is. Ricochet gets the win, pinning Ludwig Kaiser. And, you know, given the, you know, the suspension of disbelief that Ricochet may actually have a shot next week against Gunther. I don't know if it affects NXT Deadline tonight, but the New Day are taking on Pretty Deadly for the NXT tag titles. And when I talk predictions, I talked about how I would love to see New Day win those tag titles. You know, I'm not going to get into the whole conversation again, but, you know, just the idea of having your minor league and see a legend, you know, in the past, it was cool. You know, when you see somebody come into a smaller promotion and try to help. I thought Dolph Ziggler and his run helped Bron Breakker a little bit. Because remember the storyline at that time, Bron Breakker still a little naive, falling for stuff. And, you know, when he got the title back, it was supposed to be that, you know, Bron's a little smarter, getting a little bit more experience. So I would love to see the New Day put that notch under their belt. Now I'm starting to think, could we see Imperium show up today and cost the New Day their winning the NXT tag titles? But next week, Ricochet is going to take on Gunther. I'm still sticking with what you all think as well. The end game in this is actually Braun Strowman versus Gunther. Gunther will beat Ricochet next week. Gunther then will probably continue the onslaught, and then we'll probably see Braun Strowman try to make the save. We'll get the confrontation with Braun Strowman and Gunther, and that'll lead to their match. So, Gross, I don't know if the New Day would help NXT if they won. They would definitely get some rating. Absolutely would get a little bit of ratings out of it. But, you know, realistically, you know, guys, gals, look at the overall year NXT has had with viewers. That is better than what they did in 2021. It is almost what they did in 2020 and not far off of what they did in 2019. There was a good portion of this year that they had 2020 numbers. And you look at 2020 and you look at that roster at that time. I was just looking at this the other day. This is 2021. Look, this is a year ago, guys. I got to fix my autofocus. That's a year ago. Look at how that roster has changed, and they did better ratings this year than a year ago. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? It's kind of mind-boggling when you really realize it. And you know what the funny thing is? You take the payroll from this event, how much these guys were getting paid, guys and gals. Then you take the payroll of this event. Take the payroll. You'd be able to have two more NXT rosters. The amount of money that they have saved compared to even a year ago, it's if you do the research and you see it, it'll blow your mind. So, Primo says their niche is 600,000. Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think 600,000 is a fair number. You know, understand something, you know, and this is something we've talked about for a very long time. You know, when you look at AEW Dynamite, I watch it. A lot of you watch it. Would you consider yourself a WWE fan? I'm a WWE fan first, you know. Probably because of my long history watching wrestling. My point is, how many people do you think watch Dynamite that only watch AEW and nothing else? They might watch Japan, but I'm saying, actually, let me rephrase it like this. How many people on Wednesday do you think watches Dynamite that does not watch WWE programming? How many? 300,000? 400,000? Seriously, I'm not even saying that to be like nasty or sarcastic about it. How many people, and let's do the opposite. How many people that watch Dynamite Wednesday nights, how many of them also watch WWE? I think more people watch AEW, also watch WWE than the opposite. So when you talk about your core nucleus of fans, you might get 300,000, 400,000, 500,000 that are hardcore AEW and no WWE at all. It's not that big of a number. Now with NXT, how many NXT viewers also watch AEW? I think a decent amount. How many NXT viewers only watch NXT? I don't know, 200,000, 300,000. I'm just doing a wild guess. When you actually look at it like that, the numbers are not as big as we think it is. The idea is to get the everyday wrestling fan that maybe doesn't normally tune into something decides to tune in this week. Not because it's a special event, not because it's, you know, pay-per-view quality matches being advertised. You want to get them and you want to hook them. You want to hook them in. How do you keep them? And that's the challenge. That is the big challenge. Plus, you know, you got to keep wrestling must-see TV. Rampage yesterday, I watched Rampage, and here's the quick results from that. We had Lee Moriarty and Big Bill. They're calling William Morrissey now Big Bill. They defeated two indie guys, Clayton Bloodstone and Izzy James. Hikaru Shida retained the Regina DeWave Championship, beating the Bunny. We had John Moxley beating Konosuke Takeshita. Orange Cassidy beat Trent Seven. He was the surprise. No Billy Mitchell. No Miro. Oh, and I have something to talk about in a moment about Miro. The EVPs are at it, everyone. Something you're not going to read or hear anywhere else. But Orange Cassidy beat Trent Seven to retain the AEW All-Atlantic Championship. Now, did yesterday feel any different? No, it didn't. I don't think Moxley versus Takeshita is going to suddenly give them a 700,000 viewership. You know, and we had that match in July for Fighter Fest, I think it was, Fighter Fest Night 1, and it was banging. Takeshita is awesome. But, you know, the only way I'm going to get behind Takeshita even more is if this guy starts winning matches and not beating, you know, preliminary guys. You know, you could go to the limit with some people, but if you keep ending up with the L every single time, you know, sorry, you know, to me, wins and losses do matter because it gives the perception that the company is behind someone. You know, don't give me 15, 20 minutes. How would you like to watch a superhero in a movie and for 15, 20 minutes, they're going toe-to-toe, they're beating the shit out of the criminals, and then in the end, they die? You know, you want the person to win, overcome. You know, you think I want, hey, I like chess. You think I want my favorite guy to battle somebody for 20 hours, just sitting there thinking and doing some epic moves, and people like, oh, did you see that movie? Did. And for 20 hours, it's epic, amazing, and people are by, and then in the end, he fucking loses. You know, buy a scratch-off ticket. Oh, my God, look, I'm scratching all these numbers. I'm one moment away from winning $1 million, and then in the end, I lose. In the end, you lost. In the end, you lost. If winning doesn't matter, explain to me that quarter hour when WWE was on, like, Fox Sports 1 and Rampage did a, and people were, oh, my God. Winning is not everything, but winning. Winning, what's the saying? Winning feels better. Wait, what's that saying? Someone in the chat room, bail me out on this one. There's an epic phrase that is so epic that I forgot it. I think winning feels better than losing. Someone will write it. Someone will pull it. I'll get back to you on that. But SmackDown yesterday, as we said earlier, Usos retained the tag titles, beating Sheamus and Butch. The Viking Raiders and Legado went to a no contest. The New Day and Ricochet over Imperium. Liv Morgan and Tegan Knox over Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. And now Tegan Knox and Liv Morgan to get a tag team title shot against Dakota Kai, Io Sky. Look, nice comeback story for Tegan Knox. I can't help but every time I watch her in the ring, I'm a little nervous about that ACL. But, hey, she looks good. Crowd is warming up to her. I think Liv Morgan being a tag partner is a great choice. And Liv Morgan needs a tag team partner right now. I mean, people were disappointed at her title reign. But her and a tag team where the focus could be, you know, not only on her. And by the way, I can't help but to keep thinking of all those people who kept saying that Liv Morgan was turning heel. What a dumb thing to say. Nobody looked that up. It's like winning feels worse than losing something. So someone will pull it up. All right. Two more things. Then I'm going to jet out of here. First off, Veer Mahan. People thought we were going to get Veer and Sangha against the Creed brothers for NXT Deadline. Veer Mahan has a minor injury. I was told it's a leg injury. It is minor. It's nothing that requires surgery. Rest is more than anything. The fake news that's floating around right now is that WWE is being uber cautious with Veer Mahan because they're going to India in January for that mega show that that's being promoted. They really haven't gone into the details as of yet publicly. WWE has done those shows in the past. But the truth is, I guarantee you, Veer Mahan will wrestle before that match in India, unless the injury is so bad that he cannot. The fake news floating around is that WWE is being so cautious with Veer, they don't want him to wrestle at all until he goes to India because his appearance in India is extremely important. When Veer Mahan has a match before they go to India, remember this conversation. He's got a minor injury. They're giving him some rest. That's all it is. He's going to the India event. He's not going to be alone. They have a lot of other stars going there as well, and not just stars from that area. They're going to have some American stars from WWE as well. I think Drew McIntyre is probably the one they're hyping more than anything. But, you know, Veer Mahan, his injury is minor. They don't want it to turn into a major injury. If somebody tweaks their knee or tweaks their leg or something, or even a shoulder, yeah, you may want to give them a little extra rest anyway. But the idea that WWE is not having Veer Mahan wrestle before they go to India, that's fake news. It's fake news, everyone. No, it's not winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. That's a good one, too. Vince Lombardi. Green Bay Packers absolutely cares. No, it's something like losing taste something than winning is. I know, pissing me off. I can't figure it out. I'm going to freaking put that phrase on my shows from now on in the background. We got to keep that phrase. I'm mad that I can't remember it. All right. One last thing. We're going to get out of here. And then we'll pick up this conversation tomorrow night. We have the sit down hosted by yours truly. We will briefly run down Ring of Honor Final Battle, NXT Deadline. We will see if both of those men retain their championships. I'm still going with Claudio losing. The Blackpool Combat Club is done. It's done. People are in denial. It's done. They teased a couple of weeks ago dissension between Wheeler Yuta and Bryan Danielson. They teased dissension 2 weeks ago with Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley. Here's some news. Here's some news. We kind of touched on it Wednesday, but I got an email just getting into it a little bit further. And, the term that I was given is that William Regal's pre-recorded interview with Tony Schiavone that aired this Wednesday on Dynamite, that was a do-over. That was done after the Dynamite from the week earlier. Remember when William Regal showed up in the ring and Jon Moxley was pissed off and Bryan Danielson was saying, look, when my father had your demons and your battles, William Regal, it went over so horribly when the fans were chanting bullshit that Tony Khan, William Regal, and a lot of the guys, they did not want William, not only William Regal's last appearance, But William, the ending of the Blackpool Combat Club, that to be its end. You go back at that storyline, and you're always being reminded with the fans chanting, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Whoever came up with that idea didn't work out well. So after that appearance on Dynamite, they decided to do a do-over. They recorded that interview with Schiavone and William Regal. William Regal, because think about it. If you remember William Regal's explanation when he said that MJF was going to show up the following week and discuss it in the email, it was all over the place. And William Regal, you know, could have told Moxley to his face that I'm giving you the final lesson and this, this, and that, and inspiration, and the crowd would have cheered and this, this, and that, blah, blah, blah. I mean, sure, you know, it would have affected how MJF would handle him the following week. The point is, it went over so bad, and they knew that MJF was going to lay him out, stretcher him out the following week, that they decided, let's record this interview after William Regal is stretchered out. We'll air it, and then this way it's a do-over. Like that segment in the ring about Danielson's father, and it never happened. Never happened. So there you go. Just figured I'd share. Thank you, Chaos. Losing feels worse than winning feels good. Bingo. I didn't know Vince Scully came up with that. Wow. Guys, always remember this. Losing feels worse than winning feels good. For me, I'm more the opposite. Like when you win, like it feels good. Because not only do I know that I won, I know someone else lost. You know, yeah, if I lose, I'm pissed off, and I'm also pissed off that somebody else won. But for me, I'd rather rub it in somebody's face that they lost. You know, now if they rub it in my face, I punch them out. Maybe not physically. I don't want to get arrested over it. But yes, that's the one, Chaos. Thank you. Losing feels worse than winning feels good. Epic. Love that phrase, man. All right. Before we talk about Miro and the EVPs and the breadcrumbs, just want to pull up. Hold on. I think Nero Faye sent something too. Oh, shit. Here we go. Primo says the Raw quarters were on a downward spiral this week. You know what's interesting? And I'll get into the quarter hours on Monday with Raw. What was interesting about Raw was hour three. You know, hour one, they did like 1,700,000 viewers. By hour three, and that was to determine who was going to win the women's spot, you know, to face Bayley next week. You know, become the number one contender. You know, it didn't feel, you know, as important as it should. I mean, look, I'm glad Alexa Bliss won because that continues the storyline that we talked about of her versus Bianca. But by the third hour, man, you know, you could see fans are tired. They're exhausted. You know, 10 o'clock may not sound very late to a lot of people, but after 2 hours of Raw, you know, you sometimes you feel like, oh, there's another hour still. So, you know, you could see clearly that WWE, and you know what's funny about it? When we get into quarter hours with Raw, you realize that that opening quarter is not like the Big Bang Theory deal with Dynamite. They don't get this incredible overrun of people who just didn't change the channel and are still on the USA Network. But yeah, by hour three, man, people are just, you know, too much, too much. And sadly, I don't know if that's changing anytime soon. So, Daniel-san, he says, Merry Christmas, brother. Big night of wrestling tonight. Bray needs to wrestle like yesterday. I agree with you 100%. After yesterday with LA Knight, they have to have a match. Has to happen. I mean, it has to happen. And I think it should happen at the Royal Rumble. What we got to remember also is, you know, there's not going to be that many matches at the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble match, we got two. It isn't just one. You got the women's match and the men's match. How long do each match go? An hour. So how many matches are we going to get that day? Five at the most? You know, and I don't think we're going to get any real 25-minute bangers on top of the Royal Rumble matches. So they got to limit the number of matches. People are thinking that the Usos are going to have a match. People think Roman Reigns. Now I personally think there's no way Roman Reigns could wrestle in a cage against Kevin Owens. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. I can't even see how that's possible. You have 2 one-hour matches, or close to it, and then you're going to do a cage match on top of that? Is it going to be a four-hour event? Maybe it will be. Rockstar Wolfie was at Raw Monday. He said at 10:35 they left. The third hour killed them. Listen, I remember when I used to go to baseball games, especially if you know my team was losing. You know, we would leave at the seventh inning. You know, and because we wanted to get a head start away from the traffic. And the funny thing is, growing up Don Tony, you'll get a kick out of this because I guarantee this has happened to a lot of you out there. How many of you out there ever went to a baseball game and your team is losing? Maybe not by much, but your team is losing, kind of futile. And your dad or your mom says, come on, let's leave a little early and let's, you know, this way we can get ahead of the traffic. And you walk to your car, and then as you walk into your car, you hear the crowd erupting a little bit. But meanwhile, you're like, well, you know, they're losing, so all right, they got a hit, nice. And then you get in the car, and you turn the radio on, and you're like halfway through the parking lot, and you're starting to drive home, and then all of a sudden they make a comeback. That's happened at least a half a dozen times in my lifetime that I fucking left the game early. Thank God I didn't go to Game 6 of the World Series with the Mets. It's one of those nights I remember what I was doing. I remember what I was wearing. I was wearing fucking Spider-Man pajamas. And when they won Game 6 of the World Series in 86, I lived a block away from Juniper Park. And all I heard was horns. Beep. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. It was late, late, late. Now, me, I'm a teenager. I wasn't even driving at the time. You know, that's how young I was. But I just wanted to just run to the park and just, yeah, yeah. And all you heard was horns beeping. Everybody was slamming their horns. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. It was insane. But how many times has that ever happened to you? Even a basketball game. You leave the game early, you hop on the train, and while you have your headphones on, all of a sudden you hear, bang, three-pointer. You know, Knicks down by three. Bang, three-pointer. Knicks tied. And then they win by 17. And you're like, fuck, I left early. Have any of you ever, like, went back into the game? I don't remember ever doing that. I remember once or twice, like, thinking, like, maybe I could turn around. But no. Guys, wasn't there a wrestling event? Wasn't there a wrestling event? No, or maybe it was a baseball event. There's an infamous event where something happened and fans started leaving. I think it was a wrestling event and fans started leaving. And then all of a sudden somebody made a run in or somebody showed up and then started cutting a promo and you saw the crowd in the background like literally like going back to their seats. I don't remember what it was. I got to do some research on this one. This is a long time ago. This has got to be at least 15 years ago. I remember covering it on my show. There was some type of a wrestling event where the match, the main event was kind of boring, and you saw a bunch of people getting up and leaving, and then somebody showed up, made a run in or something, and then all of a sudden you saw people like trying to like get back to their seats. I'm sure it's happened in football games. Hell yeah. Nero Faye is asking me, who do I got, Morocco, England, France, Argentina, or Croatia? I'll be honest with you, I am rooting for England. I got a strange feeling that Argentina may actually get it. I'm rooting for England. USA got knocked out recently. But yeah, I'm going to root for England. So I don't know, who do you all got? Post it in the chat room, comment section. All right. Before we go off the air, we're right on time pretty much. Let's talk for a moment about Miro. Didi Dima! You see him what's going on right now? EVPs are back in full force. What's interesting is a lot of AEW fans who are CM Punk fans, even if CM Punk was wrong in the platform that he did at the media scrum, saying what he said, the way he was treated, you know, people are not thrilled about, because now he is gone from AEW. See, what I think a lot of people forget is that CM Punk, even if he was still at AEW right now, would be healing from injury. Maybe he would have done commentary a couple of times. Maybe he would have hit the ring and cut a promo. But he still would not be wrestling. But what CM Punk fans that are AEW fans don't want is they don't want one side of the problem spiking the football in our faces. All right, you're happy he's gone. The EVPs, Colt Cabana, everyone else, they're happy that they overcame it and they prevailed in the end. That's good. Good for you. Go to fucking Outback Steakhouse, eat steak, drink, hang out with the Dark Order, party up a storm. You know, Michael Nakazawa could walk around with a string bikini on. You know, you do whatever you want to do in the privacy of yourselves. But to go on TV, character, not character, film it, YouTube, not film it, didn't do this. You know, you're basically just rubbing it in the face. And a lot of fans are not happy about that. And what that is doing, this is dangerous. Remember this conversation, because it is happening right before your very eyes right now, is it is empowering a lot of fans who kept silent in the past to either feel like they were part of the cake and ice cream crew. You know, everything is epic, amazing. Look, I have goosebumps. Everything is unbelievable. AR Fox is fighting on Ring of Honor. LFG. Oh, my fucking God. Blake Christian. Ah! You know, like, I hate to single those two guys out. Go look. Type their name on social media. Take a shot every time you see a fire emoji. And no, they don't mean like a fucking, you know, like a burning building, you know, or dumpster fire. That's a better way to put it. No, they're like, oh, LFG, LMFG, LFG times 10. Wrestling fans that are AEW fans that were also CM Punk fans, there's quite a few of them, quite a few of them. And now they're getting empowered to start complaining a little bit more. Tony Khan ain't the booker of what he used to be. I was watching Cornette. And this will lead to Miro in a second. I was watching Cornette yesterday. He was talking to Brian Last, and he said something that you and I have been talking about for a couple of years now. And, you know, AEW was almost created, I don't want to say similar of what why NWA, TNA was created, but it was created to be an alternative for WWE. But it was also targeting fans that were angry at WWE, that Vince McMahon was the devil. And if you remember 3.5 years ago, I said it'll be the first millennial promotion, you know, that it just caters to that, not only age demographic, but the mindset. So now Vince McMahon is no longer in creative. So the demon, the scapegoat, you can't do Fire Russo anymore. The scapegoat is gone. Now you got not only Triple H, but a guy had major heart surgery, and the guy who's worked his way back, and the guy who gives a shit, the guy who points, and not only that, points to the people, but they point back. You know, when we see all those pictures of Tony Khan hugging everyone, and it looks like that he, you know, was just given his baby blankie, you know, if you see the emotion on his face, he's happy, he's emotional. You know, it's a good feeling that he has. But if you look at those people back, they're not hugging him back like, no, they're like, you know, they feel awkward. When Triple H points to those people are pointing back. When people try to say, oh, well, Vince McMahon hugs people too. Yeah, most of the times those wrestlers approach Vince McMahon. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for giving me the privilege. Thank you, boss. Thank you. When they walk up to it's a difference between hugging and hugging back and a wrestler initiating it. I don't make fun of Tony Khan with that stuff. You know, the guy, this is a big deal to him. But here's the thing. Now you have wrestling fans that are starting to say, look, I have gushed over this promotion. I have kissed its ass. I have written that everything is epic, amazing, unbelievable. You know, that everything is just, you know, long-term booking and amazing, blah, blah, blah. And I'm being thrown in my face. You know, my favorite wrestler who is no longer there. And these motherfuckers are. So people are starting to get pissed off. Now, all of a sudden, Tony Khan is not Booker of the Year. Now there's no longer an evil Vince McMahon. You know how they try to do evil Vince McMahon still? You'll see once in a while people are reporting, there's people that believe that Vince McMahon is still in charge, that Vince McMahon is still calling the shots, that Vince McMahon, so of course he fucking still has say. Guy owns like more than half the company. Of course he has say. Imagine that I have this giant entertainment company. And I'm banging and I'm paying people off. I didn't do anything criminal, but, you know, I'm just a scumbag and I just love to, you know, to sleep with people and I use my money and my power to get what I want. I didn't, you know, commit any crimes. And they say, look, boss, you know, we got to get you out. The company's going to get fucked. You know, you got to step down. Look, you're 80 years old, retire, have fun, this and that. But I still own fucking billions in the company. I'm going to just sit at home and just watch my money grow or get smaller. That motherfucker has so much ownership in that company. Logic would tell you if there's going to be a major decision going down, you don't think as an investor with that kind of money, you don't think in this corporate business billion-dollar world, you don't think that WWE management doesn't call Vince and say, hey, Vince, you know, we decided we're going to, you know what, we're going to sign a deal with Russia. We think, you know what, we're going to bring Trump in. We think Trump could, you know, make the finances even greater again. You know, make WWE creative great again. All these decisions. Now, he might be on board with the Trump stuff, but imagine they start making these insanely crazy deals. You don't think that Vince McMahon does. Why? Because it's going to piss off, you know, the cake and ice cream crew? It's logic. Of course Vince McMahon still has some involvement. The point is that perception-wise, nobody could point the finger anymore. He's not in the back. Why do you think every couple of weeks some douchebag out there writes a story, status of Kevin Dunn, like Kevin Dunn, job in jeopardy, Bruce Prichard, job in jeopardy? You realize Kevin Dunn has now been there for, what, 6-7 months without Vince McMahon in creative charge anymore? These people are butt hurt. They want every connection to Vince McMahon gone. So now the evil Stephanie and Nick Khan, when AEW reporters said that Tony Khan told them, knock it off. Take note that Triple H's name was never included in that because Triple H is perceived as good. Stephanie McMahon is still the loins of Vince. Nick Khan was Vince McMahon's right-hand man. So those two, knock it off. Kevin Dunn, criticism. Bruce Prichard, joke. That's how people perceive it. So fans are now starting to speak out. And they're like, you know what? This fucking company is not what I was told it was. And there's a lot of very immature, very fragile people. And now they're seeing the bullshit with the news. Just think about how easy it is to get away with that. For 7 months, Colt Cabana never went public once and said, hey, guys, look, CM Punk and I, we don't get along, but we work for the same company. And I know, you know, I appreciate all your love, but he did not force me out of the company. Yeah, you demote me to Ring of Honor. No, they let it sit there for 7 months. And CM Punk exploded. That's why he went after Nick Houseman first, because Nick Houseman at that Ring of Honor press call months earlier, he's like, oh, what about the rumors that CM Punk forced it? Nobody bothered to clear it up. Now CM Punk is finally, that legal issue is closed. And Tony Khan says in passing, oh, no, it was me all along. It was me, media. It was me all along. Nobody bought that. Now Chris Jericho is saying, oh, no, Colt Cabana, that was your storyline. Had nothing to do with CM Punk when he fought Chris Jericho recently. Come on. You know, are we that stupid? We ain't mentally deranged. We get it. So people are starting to speak out. And the EVPs, every time you see any frustration start to get momentum, they are trying to shoot it down with breadcrumbs. The latest one is Miro. Nobody paid attention to when Miro, not too long ago, talked about how he's like a Hollywood actor. Whatever they tell him to do, he does. People didn't bother to pay much attention to when Lana, when CJ Perry, when she did an interview twice. There's at least two or three interviews that Lana's done over the last 6-7 months where she talked about Miro and his lack of use in AEW. And she said, look, you know, we're actors, actresses. You know, whatever they want us to do, we'll do. If they don't want to use him, you know, then they don't. You know, we're getting paid. And it got ignored. Nobody bothered to pay attention to it. Now, wrestling fans are taking notice. Now, I know it's annoying for a lot of you out there, but how many months have we been doing the Redeemer? He's redeeming another paycheck. We've noticed this for almost a year. He came back from injury 10 months ago. And we're like, is he not on TV? The Redeemer. That's how this all started. So now, the fans, the ones that used to keep silent, cake and ice cream crew, everything is epic, amazing, unbelievable, I'm shaking, I'm happy, I think I soiled myself, I came, you know, if I die tomorrow, I die a very happy person, you know, pinch me, I must be dreaming. Now some of them are like, what the fuck is going on, man? So now a lot of them are speaking out about Miro. And they're like, what the fuck is going on? And when Tony Khan keeps saying about FTR, look, you know, we can't put everybody on TV. FTR, you put them on fucking TV. No, we get QT Marshall and fucking Nick Carbonato and Schmuck number 5. You know, you make time. You let them squash Big Bill or Little Bill or Wild Thrill Bill, you know. So people are starting to see, wait a minute, you know, those lines that worked for 3 years, people aren't buying that shit anymore. So now he says, oh, well, we have a big roster and, you know, we try to give opportunity for everyone. And, you know, oh, look how great Athena's doing and look how great this person is doing. And people are no longer accepting it. So now they get to Miro. And Miro, there is no excuse. There is none. Lana already said in an interview, look, we're actors, we're actresses, pay us whatever you want us to do, we do. I mean, my God, look at the storyline they did with Lashley and Lana. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't good, but the point is, out of everybody who doesn't get used all that well in AEW, you have to admit, Miro is probably the one that would bitch the least, because Miro is one of the only ones that actually says, him and Lana, we're actors, we're actresses. You want me to go shit in the ring? I'll shit in the ring. You want me to go, you know, cut a promo in a dark room for 5 weeks? I'll do it. You want me to do it? I'll do whatever you want. He's one of the only people that has actually said, look, you know, I'm an actor. You know, you pay me, I'll do what I have to do. So now the fans are bitching and complaining. What the fuck is the excuse? You can't use injury. You can't use the roster is too loaded. Trent Seven, with all due respect, I've seen Trent Seven wrestle before, so what I saw yesterday didn't surprise me. But I'm looking at him, and I'm like, you know, I shouldn't talk, but I even think my tits are tighter than his. Trent Seven looked like somebody who would be like an actor playing a wrestler in Young Rock. You know, I'm watching that yesterday, and I'm saying to myself, you couldn't, even though I wouldn't want it, you couldn't have Kip Sabian bring back Miro? I know it would go against everything they've done this year, but what the fuck they've actually done? Oh, do you remember Miro nodded at Malakai Black? He's joining the House of Black. He's joining nothing. So now fans are seeing this and getting angry, and the EVPs are trying to calm it down. So these reports going around that creatively Miro has balked a few ideas, so right now they have nothing for him. That, I can tell you 100%, it is a lie. It is a clear, calculated lie. It was fed by the EVPs to the pigeons, the news media, the blue check marks, the ones that claim that they don't get paid from AEW. That is true. A lot of these news media do not get paid from AEW. Money. They don't get paid money from AEW. You know how they get paid? They get dirt. They get the EVPs giving them crumbs. Hey, you know, about this Miro stuff. You know, put it out there that this, this, and that. And then somebody puts it out there, and then everybody cuts and pastes, and next you know everywhere, oh, Miro, he's off TV because creatively he didn't like, you know, was being perceived to him. That's a lie. So the EVPs right now are targeting Miro because Miro, there is no excuse. There is no excuse. Look at Malakai Black. He's back, and he's feuding with the Dark Order. He issues war on Wednesday. When you issue war on people, you show up and you take the bad people out or the good people out. The war on drugs. You think the cops were just like standing around waiting for a drug dealer to walk by their car and say, yo, man, you want to buy some? No, they're raiding areas and trying to shut down places to prevent further stuff. The House of Black issues war on Wednesday, and then they actually say, you want us, come find us. You know, you want us, come find us. No, when you issue war, you fucking invade. And you're going to see them attack the elite? No. You're going to see them attack the Death Triangle right now? No. You think you see them try? No, they're going to fight the Dark Order. They're going to fight Ortiz, Kingston, and somebody else. So with Malakai Black, he's back. But remember, the EVPs leaked out to the media about his mental health stuff. And he actually said, I don't appreciate management leaking out that shit. And people forget it now because, oh, he's back, so everything is good. Maybe apologies were given. So right now what you are seeing is the EVPs trying to throw shade on Miro to put the blame on Miro and not on AEW, just not knowing what the fuck to do with this guy. They don't know what to do with this guy. They know that Miro has such a huge following. They throw that guy back on TV. You know, you got to do something big with him. What are you going to do? You got to put a belt on him eventually. What are you going to do? That's why Hobbs now is walking through the streets of Los Angeles. And now you notice, now it's regulated to Rampage. Soon it'll be a social media exclusive, Twitter exclusive. You know, he's walking down the hood. You know, that promo that Hobbs cut yesterday on Rampage, that should have been done 3 years ago. Before everybody got to learn Hobbs a little bit. We know about Hobbs already. We know where he came from. We know about, you know, his personal stuff. We don't need this reintroduction. This isn't Lacey Evans. So right now, the EVPs are targeting Miro. And unfortunately, it's working. Because people out there want you to click on their podcast, click on their articles, click on their Patreons, and they don't care if the story is true or not, because they'll just say, it was reported. It was reported. I'm just reacting to the news. Instead of coming out there and trying to get the answer and say, okay, it's bullshit. The story is bullshit. Instead of trying to get the answers, they'll just say, oh, it's reported. That's why I never even talked about EC3, and I love EC3, but what a fucking stupid comment to say about why William Regal left AEW. You know, I didn't even make this show. But instead, people like, oh, I'm just reacting. I react to actual news, and I will dispel something that's not true. When something is ridiculous, like almost like Bizarro Land, doesn't even make the show. So unfortunately, a lot of places out there are reporting that Miro is off TV, because creatively, he balked on a few things. He's probably one of the least that would balk at this stuff. So I just wanted to throw it out there. And yes, I got that from people who I do trust behind the scenes. So, yeah, take it however you want. This is my mom just telling me they landed in Florida. You could hear it. Oh, hang on. Personal stuff, everyone. I got to make sure they landed safely. Yeah, Aunt. Watch. Yeah, Aunt. Yeah, we just landed. Watch. Hello?
Anthony?
Yeah.
Aunt?
Yeah.
You hear me now?
Yeah.
All right, we just landed.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Listen, I just wanted to tell you, the spray that you...
Yeah. I know. I know. I was just going to tell you, I opened it up and it smelled funny, and I said, I don't think I should be spraying the bird with this. All right, good, good. All right. No, not yet. All right. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Sorry, personal stuff. When you do a show in the afternoon, you know, you're going to have that sometimes. So, hey, at least you got proof that, you know, when I said to you earlier that I had to emergency bird sit, that they had to fly emergency to Florida. So, all right. So there you go. I am out of here. It is right now about 1 p.m. Everybody who participated in the YouTube channel members predictions contest for deadline, good luck. I know entries are closed now, and Patreon, your entries as well have been documented. Good luck to you as well. If you're around Sunday night around 8.05 p.m., you're welcome to join me here. We will briefly run down both deadline and final battle. I'm probably going to watch both shows. I'm definitely not going to review something that I didn't see. But I'll probably check out both shows. And we'll also do a sit-down episode tomorrow. So if you have any questions, comments, chat, super chat, whatever you want to talk about, tomorrow the floor is open for the entire night. I go in tomorrow with a blank piece of paper, and whatever you choose to talk about, we talk about. And I hope everybody enjoys your weekend. Much love as always. And on the way out, if you enjoyed this episode, take a moment, smash that thumbs up. It does help. You know, that algorithm that everybody talks about, I don't pay too much attention to it. People say I should, but liking the shows, subscribing, channel member, letting other people know about the shows, you know, posting a comment, all that helps. It helps more than you know. You know, we want this channel to be twice as big in 2023. I know that's not going to happen, but, you know, we definitely want to grow. And if I don't see this shit growing, then, you know, I have to start thinking about other things to do. But everyone, it's been real. Hope you have a great weekend. Whatever you watch wrestling-wise, enjoy it. You get to watch World Cup, enjoy that as well. We'll see how off my prediction was, but have a good one, everyone. All the best. And if you have any feedback on what we talked about tonight, please speak out. Let me know. And we'll talk about it. So everyone, have a good night. I realized not to press that button. You know, for the last two shows, we've had this epic fail. Look, see, there's one epic fail. It's just randomly choosing different things, so I have to do it manually. So, all right, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.